freedom!
Greetings, friends. It's Eric, the Freedom Screamer, checking with you from upstate New York. Thanks for following us. Everybody needs to flee Facebook immediately and get over to Parler. Our Parler accounts are growing by leaps and bounds, and so is the resistance movement. Thanks for joining us. We got a lot of catching up to do right now, so hang on tight. I'm going to back up a couple of weeks. It's been a while since I did my last audio blog, and I do apologize to all the people out there for that, but I had some serious fires to put out on a local basis with everything from CPS to face mask arrests and court appearance, everything. You name it, we've had it. So first I'm going to back up about 3 weeks to the Pete Harding case. I think I blogged out on the Pete Harding case. We had Pete on as an interview. We did a three-way call with me, Pete, and Daniel. We blogged that out a little while back. So check out one of our most recent blogs, which was at the United States Can is our domain. That's the easiest one for the audio blog. United States Can. Just spell it right out. United States C-A-N, Can. That'll take you to the anti-deep state party. The anti-deep state name, we wanted to monkey with that a little because a lot of people don't really know what the deep state is. So, and we wanted to make it simple, easy to remember. Okay, so follow us over there at the United States Can and Courtroom Watch, C-O-U-R-T-R-O-O-M. We pay attention to the witch's court and everything that goes on peripherally, including other issues like geoengineering and banking issues and vaccines and et cetera. Because almost everything, well, I take that back, everything that anybody has a dispute about winds up in the witch's court. That's the ultimate arbiter, unfortunately. The witch's court is the ultimate. Now, why do I say witches? Because of the black robes. It's an overt sign of Luciferianism. We'll go down that rabbit hole another day. But it's the witch's court, trust me. And so we pay attention to everything ends up in the witch's court. That's where we're going to be looking at, okay? So that's what we do. Elections wind up in the court. That's where this one's going right now. So, you know, and we can get into the Trump and Biden thing later. You know me, I'm kind of a libertarian Ron Paul guy. I never really liked either corporatist because they're basically technically, legally, the CEOs, the chief executive officers of a defunct bankrupt corporation called the United States LLC. That's not a joke. That's what they're calling themselves. Every year when you see that signing of the papers to refund the government and keep the government open for another year, that's the defunct corporation with their CEO fleeing from their creditors, and they change the name every year. Last year it was the United States LLC. I believe they're running with that again this year. Apparently right now the foreclosure is already taking place. Our creditors are no longer extending us credit, meaning extending the nation credit. And we're having the plug pulled right now, and this whole coronavirus lockdown is part of that, controlling the people as we go into a major economic collapse. So, back up a couple of weeks, and we need to do everything we can to resist this. God will give us the victories, and we've had a bunch of them recently, so take heart. The resistance is growing exponentially, I can assure you. I'm right in the middle of it. So let me go back a couple of weeks to the Pete Harding case. Pete Harding was in a liquor store picking up a bottle of wine. Once a week, he goes down and gets a bottle of wine for Saturday night. He's a military veteran, really nice guy, super squared away, very smart, intelligent, well-spoken guy. He's a believer in the Creator. He's got great center points, and he's got good morals, and I really like this guy. He's a good example of a, you know, true American patriot. So he was at the wine cellar, wine cellar, S-E-L-L-A-R. And the wine cellar had multiple times allowed him to come in without a mask because he's got a condition where he can't wear a mask. And there are a long list of breathing conditions, COPD, asthma. It goes on and on, allergies. It goes on and on. So, you know, he had a valid reason to not wear a mask in the store, basically was okay with that. And they would tell him, wait at the front of the store. We'll serve you up there. Cash you out near the front door. So he complied. And next thing he knows, the cops show up. Apparently, one of the employees at the wine cellar didn't get the memo that it was okay to serve this guy. And they called the cops. No one at the store ever asked him to leave. When the cop came, the idiot cop didn't ask him to leave. He just hauled off and arrested him. He said, "Can you step outside?" Pete said, "Am I being detained?" The cop said, "No, you're being arrested." Okay, so we showed up in court. He got arrested, arraigned, you know, the whole fingerprinted, you know, handcuffed, the whole kidnapped. Let's call it what it is. So anyway, at his court appearance, if you want to view this, you can go to YouTube and type in Cheektowaga Town Court Refuses Access. And Cheektowaga is spelled C-H-E-E-K, like your cheeks. Okay, Cheektowaga, T-O-W-A-G-A. That's C-H-E-E-K-T-O-W-A-G-A. Cheektowaga. And the Cheektowaga Town Court refused us access. Multiple people are involved, including Judge Ferletto and Judge Stevens. And the court building is attorneys and clients only. Now, think about this for a minute. It sounds like, what, all right, no big deal, we got bigger problems. Do we really? You have secret proceedings taking place at the Cheektowaga Town Courthouse, and this is a little, not a little town, it's a big town just outside Buffalo, New York. It's like a big, you know, commercial area. There's a lot of commercial activity and housing, you know, residential areas, and it's quite, you know, heavily populated. So it's not like a secret proceeding taking place in a, out in the, you know, Appalachians where there aren't any people. And, you know, you're going to have, it's going to look secret because nobody shows up or nobody cares or there's just nobody around. I mean, this is a hub, a happening hubbub place. And so the Cheektowaga Town Court will not allow even one person as a witness or an assistant or just an observer. Courtroom observers is how we started. We are the courtroom observers. And they wouldn't allow anyone in except attorneys and clients. We had a group of 50 people there backing up Pete, and it was quite the crowd. It was awesome. And God bless all the people who showed up. Thousands of other people apparently wanted to come and sent responses saying, "Sorry we couldn't be there, but we had to work." You know, it was like 10:30 on a Monday morning. So a lot of people really wanted to go, but just, they had to go to work, especially now, catch-up time, so because people have been laid off for so long. So we got a lot of support, both there at the courthouse and through the social media, et cetera. So when I got there, the group said, "No, we're not being allowed in." And I said, "Each one of you needs to go up, you know, and individually and, you know, have them tell you you can't get in. Don't just get the word through the grapevine and, well, they told Pete and Pete told us." That's hearsay at that point. You want it preferably in writing. They'll never give it to you in writing, but definitely at least go up to the door and make them say, "Nope, you can't come in." And then you say, "Well, I'm here to witness a public proceeding. You need to let me in. The law says you must." And then they'll say, "Nope, our order said we can't." Okay, and then at that point you leave because you don't want to get tasered, make your life miserable. You just walk out, and that's, you live to fight another day. But unless you have that direct contact, that formal trespassing, so to speak, where they say, "No, you can't come in," you don't have a claim. See, so now that everybody went, so the whole group charged the door, basically. I thought they were going to go one at a time. But they all went in as a group, which was awesome, and everybody was very well behaved. This wasn't a riot. This wasn't storming. It was storming the building in a nonviolent way. But we all just basically, you know, walked in all at once as a group. And the gentleman who squared off with the bailiff did an excellent job. I forget his name. I'll give him credit in my blog when I get his name in front of me. But you'll find his video, or you'll see him in the video that someone took, if you type in Cheektowaga Town Court Refuses Access. Cheektowaga Town Court Refuses Access. We're going to try to put a link to this attached to this audio blog, which you're hopefully following at the United States Can and CourtroomWatch.com. So I'm going to start cross-posting as well, a lot more than in the past, because Facebook, Twitter, Google and YouTube are all dinosaurs, things of the past, massively censored, run by foreign entities, not to the benefit of the people. You can put up garbage, you know, pictures about, you know, snow falling in your backyard, but as soon as you get into something heavy duty, some meat and potatoes, some solutions, something to make our lives better and the lives of our future generations, oh, pull that right down. Good example is the recent Corona Investigative Committee video, which you can find embedded at globalresearch.org. That's globalresearch.org. And you type into the search bar, video, crimes against humanity, PCR test pandemic. Guess what? The morning after I blogged out that the audio of that video, I played it over my phone here where I do my audio blog. And I put the phone in front of the computer and I hit play. I blogged it out. I woke up at 8 o'clock the next morning and I went to pull it back up and review. YouTube had pulled it down. It got eventually up to over 1 million views. And literally the morning after I blogged it, I was one of the last people to play that video. Now, it's not gone. It's just gone from YouTube. Globalresearch.org has it embedded, so YouTube scammers can't wrench it out of there. Globalresearch.org, they also have globalresearch.ca. I guess that's their backup site, and that's really smart to have a backup site. That's what we're doing now with United States Can and Courtroom Watch. We're going to at least get those two cross-posted on a regular basis and have other sites as well on top of those as backup sites, just to make sure we stay ahead of the game. All right, so you can go watch the video of the epic standoff between the courtroom observers of Buffalo and surrounding areas and squaring off with the sheriff's bailiffs, and they even brought down a couple of what looked like special operations guys from the state police with bulletproof vests and extra gear and then the whole nine yards. We were all very well behaved. We were not rioting or threatening anybody, but we very forcefully argued our case professionally and politely. And we eventually, you know, we're told you're not coming in. And so we said, okay, we have this recorded. You just trespassed all these people. Perfect class action lawsuit. They can't prevent the public from getting into a public proceeding on public property without an immediate danger proven, and there's no way they can immediately prove that it's dangerous for us to come in. Even more interestingly enough, on this Pete Harding case at Cheektowaga Town Court, where his observers and friends were not allowed in, not even one observer or friend. I couldn't even go in. I had my media press pass for Courtroom Watch with my picture and my, you know, phone number and all my information on there, you know, a nice press pass. And I can prove I'm a legitimate member of the media. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been on multiple blogcasts and regular radio as well. They wouldn't let me in on the grounds of media. So they're not only, you know, violating the right to open proceedings, to witness open proceedings, but they're violating the free press. So 30 people were allowed in the courtroom, but only attorneys and clients. So if there were four people in there, two attorneys and two clients, which is about what was in there, four to eight at any time while we were there, there was room for 25 more people. 20 to 25 more people could have got in there. Why couldn't they let in just one? Oh, they say, well, we can't be bothered if the courtroom's full of observers and then an attorney and clients come in. We have to ask people to leave. Okay, we'll do it. We would have been happy to leave. We would have complied with any lawful order they gave us to get in that courtroom. So they wouldn't do it. So even though they were allowed 30 people, and there was five or six or seven or eight attorneys and clients at the most, they wouldn't allow anybody else to come in and fill in that rest of those numbers. You know, they just said, nope, attorneys and clients only. Now, before you go saying, no, that's no big deal, whatever, what, got something more exciting to talk about, think about that for a minute. You could be taken by the police in handcuffs for something you did not do to a secret proceeding with no witnesses allowed. That your mother can't come, your buddy can't come, nobody can come but a member of the bar, which is the organization that's running the court. The judge is a member of the bar, the district attorney is a member of the bar. And they're saying only a member from our club can come in and represent you, you accused person, you in shackles. I'm serious, people. What's next? Throw away, take them to the dungeon and throw away the key. That's where this is going. You can't allow the government to take people into a witch's court and then do it in secret and just trust what, that the record that they're going to keep is accurate? I've seen all kinds of cases where the stenographer stopped typing, or there was an audio recording and there was a blank space for 20 or 30 seconds. It happens all the time. They're constantly monkeying with and deleting court records. You can't trust those scammers to keep honest records. You're going to trust them to take you in chains into their court and then do whatever with you with no witnesses? Nobody can come in except a member of their club. Another bar member can come in and pretend that he's defending you within the parameters of everything they created, where your chances of getting fair justice and due process are just about none. So this is scary, you know what? Not cool. So I made a big stink about it as best I could, and we move on from there, and we wait for his next appearance, and we're going to be there again. We're going to do the same thing. So go to Cheektowaga Town Court refuses access. You'll see the episode. That's an up-to-date on the Pete Harding case. Very interestingly, the next, I think it was the next day, Tuesday, about 3 weeks ago, Cuomo comes out and says, very sheepishly says, we're going to leave the issue of masking up to the local school district. That's a huge victory, because he's backing off out of his usual mode of totalitarian state control. He's also giving, it's not that it's his to give back, but at least he's respecting the sovereignty of the local school districts to decide on their own. Do they want to force their children to rebreathe their own carbon dioxide, to rebreathe their own bacteria, possibly get sicker than they would from this coronavirus, which only has a, it basically has a 96 to a 98% survival rate. So it's certainly not that dangerous. And that's borne out by the statistics that the government itself is putting out. So the schools are going to decide on their own whether to have masks or not. And I think that's great. I think the ones who are awake and aware are going to realize, hey, just look, keep it clean. Don't have anybody French kissing in the hallways. Don't have anybody spitting on each other. I think it will be fine. We don't have to go into paranoid mode to get through this. So that was a big victory. Cuomo leaves it up to the schools, and I believe that that was definitely in some way related to the massive protests that we had for the Pete Harding case. And it wasn't just 50 people out there protesting. I got on the local radio station, got it out to thousands of people on the Friday before the appearance. And then Monday morning from the courthouse, they actually had Pete himself on the radio, WBEN, David Bellavia, the Congressional Medal of Honor winner radio host on our Buffalo AM radio station, had Pete on right live from the courthouse, which I thought was really cool. And Pete got to speak to the public and let them know that he's always been a big supporter of the police. Pete was out there filming for the police, filming the rioters and filming the people who were burning stuff down and handing the evidence over to the cops. He was doing the police's job for them. And this is what he gets arrested for not wearing a mask on a trumped up bogus charge called criminal trespassing in the third degree. When nobody asked him to leave, so he couldn't have been trespassing at a store that had served him multiple times. They're screwed if he sues them. So we'll see where we go with that. Right now, we have not heard back from the court yet. It's been a while, too. So I think they're trying to figure out whether to go into steamroll mode and just plow right through and ignore motions and ignore constitutional protections and just plow it right through and try to ram it into a bench trial. Or CYA mode, which is clean it up, cover your rear end, live to fight another day, give the Patriots their victory, and then just drop the case, have the district attorney drop it. And, do they really want another protest every time there's an appearance? Because we're going to be there. We're not going to stop emailing and calling and putting the squeeze on these elected officials. And if they're elected, even with the fraud, it still makes them very uncomfortable to have the masses, the majority of people against them, because then it's going to be obvious that if they keep getting elected and the people are against them, oh boy, it's not going to be long before the sheep will wake up and realize there's fraud being committed and these people are not legitimate elected officials and have no business whatever telling us what to do in any way. The SIO soccer team, SIO is a small town down here upstate New York, not far from me, right up the road actually. SIO, S-C-I-O, SIO. their soccer team made it to the sectionals, which is the big soccer tournament for all the high schools in this area. The sectionals, the idiots at the sectionals, of course, were doing what they're told by, you know, the Communist Health Department, which is becoming the greatest terrorist organization in the country, the health departments. The sectionals administrators, the sectional committee, was requiring that all the players wear masks while they're out on the soccer field running around, kicking a soccer ball around in the middle of a grassy field on a, you know, on a, how absurd is that? You're going to run around playing soccer with a mask on, that's insane. So they said, nope, we're pulling our team out. And I'm sure the team, I haven't been able to speak to someone, they haven't called me back from the school yet. You know, I don't know if they want to go, you know, I mean, they're public. It made the local news. But they don't always like to talk about it because they feel it puts their career in jeopardy. They're going to get repercussions and punished by the state, which happens. But guess what? Too bad. Find your courage. So anyway, but that was really nice. I left a message, and it's been a few days. We'll see if they call me back or not. I'll run into them sometime out at the store or somewhere and say, hey, what do you think about that? They're usually a little more comfortable about talking in person because on the phone in New York State, you can record the phone call. Not that I would do that. I mean, unless it was a serious situation where I was really thought there was corruption and I had specific reason. If somebody friendly was calling back to explain, you know, their decision, their good decision, you know, if they call a friendly call, so to speak, you know, I would never record that without, you know, without telling the person. I wouldn't do that. So, but you can legally in most states do that. It's called being a first party state. And I would recommend it if you're talking to a corrupt official or someone who's been doing something wrong, always be nice and polite, but record that call. Find out if your state is a single party state. And in a single party state, you can record the phone call without telling the other person on the other line. So, and I use that very sparingly. I don't abuse that at all. I mean, really rare that I record a call. It would have to be extremely rare. Most of the stuff I like to respect, even if it's the enemy, the fact that, you know, this is a private call between you and me, and, you know, tell me what you can. And that's the way I've been, you know, doing it. It's been working out pretty well. So the SIO soccer team deserves a lot of kudos and a lot of credit for pulling their team out. And I'm sure the team agreed. This wasn't a decision made by the teachers. I'm sure they asked the students, do you guys want to wear a mask when you're playing soccer? And they said, F that. And they said, you know, it's probably going to mean not going to the sectionals. And guess what? The people in this area are really cool. They say, cool, that's fine, no problem. Screw the stupid idiot sectionals. We got more important things to worry about, like freedom. So, take heart, people. Many groups are uniting due to this whole COVID lockdown thing. This is not taking place with everybody on their own, scared, sitting at home, wondering what they should say to who and what they should not say, where and when and all, where they can go, should they wear a mask, do they have to obey this, scared of that, nuh-uh. There's so many people out there right now that are rising up to the occasion and so many groups that are coming together. I'm going to give you a great example. I called into a broadcast called Immunize Wisely. It's on Republic Broadcasting Network. The archive can be found at republicbroadcasting.org. And it's Immunize Wisely with Ingrid Castle. Her first name is Ingrid, I-N-G-R-I. Ingrid, it's I-N-G-R-I, right. So last name Castle with a C. Very hard to find her on the internet, but this, you go to our republicbroadcasting.org archives, you'll catch your broadcast Saturdays in the evening from about 8 to 10 Eastern, I think is when it is. 8 to 10 Eastern every Saturday night on Republic Broadcasting Network. So go to republicbroadcasting.org and you'll find the archive under Immunize Wisely for last Saturday, and had a very interesting call. Her guest, Eileen Daneman, is the founder of the Vaccine Liberation Army. So we've just kind of, and now the group of people I'm with here and around the Buffalo area, they're protesting the mass and massively against any forced vaccinations, have an enormous group of vaccine vaccine, how would I call it? Vaccine resistors, vaccine aware, vaccine freedom people. Let's keep it simple in general. We're not necessarily against somebody else. If you want to take a vaccine, that's fine. We're not looking to bring the industry to its knees and force them to stop doing what they're doing. If somebody out there is stupid enough to stick a needle in their arm and not know what's in it, trust the person who's making it that they have your best interest at heart. After all this, what we've been going through, you deserve what you get, and I can't help you. You have to be smart and use the brain that God gave you. So the New York State Alliance for Constitutional Freedoms here and Breathe Free New York, which are the groups around here, were sponsoring enormous meetings. Some of them got 500, 600, 700 people were coming. And this was every 2 or 3 weeks they'd do another meeting. They'd do one in one county and then one in another city and then one in another towns. They came out here and did an Amish thing where they let me speak because I live very close to here and I had some interesting points to make, and the Amish really wanted to know what they could do to avoid the state forcing them to get their children vaccinated, which is exactly what just happened in here in New York about a year ago. And so they were looking for avenues to their freedom. And so I got to speak in front of over 100 Amish there. But their other meetings closer to the big cities were getting 600, 700 people. Dozens of meetings like that. So multiply 600 times 25 meetings. That's a lot of people. That's, I don't know, 10,000 people right there that are actually showing up, leaving their house on a cold winter night. That's huge numbers of people. So that group, I'm uniting with the Vaccine Liberation Army people who have quite a following, and Eileen and Ingrid over at her Immunize Wisely broadcast on RBN, and with all these different groups and people coming together, you know, we've just doubled the size of an enormous group to something even more humongous. So, and each group, very interestingly, has its own thing going on. Like Eileen at the Vaccine Liberation Army has a letter from on her website. I believe it, she said it's from an attorney friend of hers who's a good lawyer, like on our side. And she was taking had to go take a test, I think, and something to do with her legal degree. And they wouldn't let her in without a mask, so she wrote a letter and she managed to get in without the mask. And it's so that she's got a letter that works to if you want to fight the mask thing. So that's up on her website, vaccineliberationarmy.org. Of course, we at Courtroom Watch have our vaccine liability letter. That's a world-class letter. It's one of my favorite documents. It says everything just perfectly, covers all the bases, but doesn't go too far into a 25-page diatribe of all kinds of other garbage. It's very poignant. It's about, I don't know, I think, what, 3 pages or something, if you don't include the page that makes the vaccine administrator put their driver's license number in there. I love that one. They always want our information for their database. You make them put it down there. You're going to stick a needle in my arm or my child's arm. Here, I want your driver's license number, and I want your ID number right here, your address and your name. I want your oath and bond pursuant to the public officer's law. None of them will have that. And they'll basically leave you alone and move on to the next person. Try to wake up that next person. Because if they're not free, if they're not free or willing to try to be, then it's not going to be good for you either. None of us can swim in a fishbowl alone and be free on our own. We all require others to be free with us. That's what backs us up. That's what gives us power and resistance. Everybody flopping in the wind on their own is no good. They could pick us off one at a time. So it's good to band together, get with some organ, even if it's just a group of 5 people in your town. That's great. That'll develop into something much larger eventually. So try to get with the group, either a small one or a larger one or both. And that makes things much easier when we have to do things to resist, like go into court and make them, meaning the health department and the police and the scammers in government, make them prove their case in front of the court. Prove it. Put it all on record. Okay, you say I need to wear a mask because I could be sick and carry. Okay, prove it. Where's your proof to support that claim? Well, you got to take this vaccination because maybe someday you could get it. You could probably might pass it on to somebody else, perhaps. Prove it. Prove that statement. Prove it. Well, you know, the virus could be here, and we know that it does this. Prove it. Where's your proof to support that claim? You have none. You have no claim. Bye-bye. and require their public officers' oath and bond. If they don't have an oath and bond filed with the county clerk, which is their oath to uphold the Constitution, they're not a public officer. And if they're not a public officer, they have no business dealing with you. And you have no business dealing with them. Tell them to take a hike. So groups are uniting all across the board. I suggest everybody listening to this join one in some capacity. Please print out 3 things and begin handing them out to everybody you know. One would be the decision from Judge William Stickman in Pennsylvania Federal Court. That's the 3rd District Federal Court. Should be binding on lower state courts, even if it's not in that district. Okay, don't let them give you that garbage. Well, that's in the 3rd District. We're in the 2nd. It doesn't matter. It's a federal court decision. So you state courts better fall into line. It's a constitutional decision. We finally have something to support in the witches' court. God bless. The witches are repenting. Woo-hoo! So the Judge Stickman decision, you can find that. I like the Heritage Foundation article. They have a good article. Gives a little bit of an explanation, but not too much, and then the specifics of the decision. So go to the Heritage Foundation, Judge Stickman decision, coronavirus restrictions unconstitutional. 3 different constitutional violations by the governor of Pennsylvania. So Pennsylvania's wide open. New York State's going back into lockdown. It's absurd. If there was a real pandemic with all the people back and forth from New York to Pennsylvania, you would see people getting sick and you're not. The hospitals have their COVID units down to such a small area wing of the hospital, you know, a dozen beds, that now they're overflowing when they get 15 cases instead of 12. And most of those are the flu, not COVID. What happened to the flu, huh? Where'd that go? Did that disappear? So the people who are dying would have died within 1 year from something else that they have. They have what's called comorbidity. That means another death factor that killed them. They just happened to have corona in their system when they died. And so the hospital writes death, cause of death, coronavirus. It's a complete scam, whether the virus is real or not. They're scamming with it. So your decision by Judge Stickman, print it out. It's only, I think, a page or two from the Heritage Foundation. The Coronavirus Investigative Committee, text, which you can find at globalresearch.org. I just said it earlier in this broadcast. Video Crimes Against Humanity, PCR Test Pandemic. That's the Corona Investigative Committee. It's a group of lawyers who are suing for crimes against humanity against all the perpetrators of the Corona hoax scandal. The third thing you're going to want to include is the vaccine liability letter from courtroomwatch.com. That's ours, and you're welcome to it. And it might be just what you need to keep the government, the force of the government needle away from you. You need to start handing out that vaccine liability letter immediately, though. So the cops and authorities who are going to be really the muscle could be soldiers. They're already at the airport. They're already taking PPE from the hospitals, the National Guard. So it could be just what keeps the soldiers and the police from doing the wrong thing and trying to force this on people because they were ordered to. And that's where this is going. They're gonna try to issue a mandate for everybody to take the vaccine by force. Alan Dershowitz, that goofball, has already come out pimping the force, says it's okay, we should be able to tie people down and stick the needle in their arm for the greater good. I mean, what will you not do for the greater good? I mean, what, just slaughter your children? I mean, it's ridiculous. So 3 things: the Judge Stickman decision, the Corona Investigative Committee lawsuit for crimes against humanity, and the vaccine liability letter. Okay? The Judge Stickman decisions at Heritage Foundation, the Corona Investigative Committee text, which is only going to be a few pages, that's at globalresearch.org, and then the vaccine liability letter is at courtroomwatch.com. Okay? So there it is. I can't give you it any more simply. It's a really easy mission. You go to those 3 places and you download those 3 documents. Each one's a couple of pages. And start handing them out. Any lawyer that you know should get a copy of each one of those 3. Any cop that you see, you know, hey, excuse me, I thought you'd be really interested in some extra information on the coronavirus. Could you hand this to your supervisor? Now, then you got them. They can't say, well, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want you. I need you to hand it to your supervisor. They'll usually take it and go hand it to him. Once you bring in their boss into the picture, they don't want to do the wrong thing and have you calling the supervisor and saying, hey, you know, I ran into Officer Smith out there today, and he wouldn't take a document. I just wanted him to hand it to you. Why was that? Now, can I come down and hand it to you myself? Or, you know, something to that effect, and usually the cop will take it and pass it along to his supervisor. They love stuff like that. They love hearing where we're coming from, because they can't always go out looking without attracting a lot of bad attention to themselves. You know, they get, once again, repercussions and punishments for doing the right thing. That's why a lot of officers, public officers, soldiers, they don't want to do they're not doing the right thing. They're scared of reprisal, Nazi reprisals. So they're getting a taste of where this was going. I've been bitching about this for a long time, and now the people on the inside, the executioners, so to speak, the enforcers, the officers, are seeing their chickens come home to roost, and it's not always pretty. I hope they'll end up doing the right thing. I think it will push them in the right direction if you all start handing out those three documents: Stickman's decision, Corona Investigative Committee, vaccine liability letter. I just sent one, the Stickman decision, over to the High Sheriff of Wayne County, Barry Burtz. And he said, you know what, Eric, I'm going to take this before the New York State Sheriff's Association. Whoa, awesome, beautiful. Every sheriff in the state of New York now is going to see that the Constitution is on our side, we the people, and they need to do the right thing. And guess what? It wasn't just a couple of days after that Sheriff Tim Howard of Erie County, that's the Buffalo County of Buffalo, that is a big county, issued a statement that he and his deputies will not be interrupting anybody's Thanksgiving. We have Cuomo here, for those of you who didn't know, telling people they can only have 10 people over for Thanksgiving. They should preferably have their Thanksgiving outside, like a bunch of cavemen. Cavemen wouldn't be that stupid. At least they'd go inside into their cave and eat inside. And we have a totalitarian governor telling people, eat your Thanksgiving dinner outside, don't have more than 10 people over, okay? And the sheriff of Erie County said, basically, go pound salt. We're not going to be, and he came right out and announced it. He said, it was right in the news. He said, we're not going to be using any resources or deputies from this department to be interrupting the great American tradition of Thanksgiving. So that was really cool. So Sheriff Tim Howard of Erie County should be commended for that, and all other sheriffs should do the same thing. So you might want to add to your little package the statement from Sheriff Tim Howard of Erie County, E-R-I-E, like Lake Erie. That's the huge county that Buffalo sits in the middle of. Get a copy of his decision, and maybe that'll help some other sheriffs find their courage as well. You want to add one more to that? Sheriff Richard Jones of Butler County, my favorite, where he said, I am not the masked police. He said, if the health department workers want to put a little yellow light on their car and go pull people over for not wearing a mask, go ahead. Because he knows what's going to happen in his county. I thought that was beautiful. So with that, we're going to leave you a little music to sign off with, and I want everybody to start printing out those documents. I'll say it one more time. GlobalResearch.org has the Corona Investigative Committee video, Crimes Against Humanity. Heritage Foundation has the Judge William Stickman decision that the restrictions are unconstitutional. And CourtroomWatch.com has the vaccine liability letter. Have a good one, y'all. We'll catch you on a very, very soon on another audio blog. They're going to be rolling out like thunder as we go forward here, because the time is now for resistance. Resistance is not futile. Ha ha ha!